Hey, Johanna, welcome to this week's episode of the Married to a Disney Addict podcast. We are your hosts, Crystal
and Matt,
and this is show number 25.
If you tuned in to last week's episode, we were joined by our son, Lincoln, who shared a kid's perspective on a Disney cruise as he shared everything he loved about our voyage aboard the Disney Fantasy this past July. On that episode, though, we did say that we would be doing another episode providing more information on Disney cruises in general. So today we're keeping that promise.
Today we're going to be discussing kind of like a basic introduction of DCO. While we've been on a few cruises over the years, we wanted to make sure that we gave everyone listening the best possible information. So we've invited onto the show the preferred travel agent of Married to a Disney Addict and Disney Cruise Line expert, our good friend Sue Passauer, to help us out. Hey, Sue.
Hey, how are y'all doing today? Thank you so much for having me back.
It's so good to have you again.
I love being on the show. So it's always fun. It's always great topics. But today you picked one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Disney Cruise Line.
Well, okay. So for those of you listening, you may hear some noises in the background because kind of joining us on the show today is our youngest son, Landry, sitting on Crystal's lap because he was being stubborn about his nap and did not want to go down. So if you hear any coos or as, that is probably him in the background. But you're right, Sue. It is one of our favorite topics. I've grown to love Disney cruising. Lincoln loved it. If you listened to our last episode, he had tons of fun. Landry was with us. He was young, but he still had a good time. It's getting a little bit warmer out. It's just like the perfect time, I think, to talk about Disney Cruise Line. But there is another reason why this is perfect timing to do an episode like that. And we're going to let Sue kind of jump into why that is, because it's pretty exciting news, especially for those of you who might be thinking to the future and seeing a Disney cruise in it.
That's right. Disney has just unveiled their summer 2025 itineraries. That's right, 2025. When you're planning a cruise, you want to do it ahead of time. So they just rolled out their 2025 itineraries for the summer. Those will actually start booking, I think, today, the day you drop the show. And we can get a little bit more into the details on how Disney does their bookings. But it's a great summer lineup. They've got some changes. They've got some great new itineraries, particularly over in Europe. I'll drop a hint. The Disney Fantasy is going to Europe this year. So that's a nice little change. And then they have their normal itineraries that come out, but we'll roll those out a little bit by a little bit.
So Sue, real quick, let's jump over. You did say that the Fantasy, which is what we were on this past July, we did the Southern Caribbean. It's moving to Europe. Is that coming out of a certain port? Do you know, like, where its home base is over there?
It's not actually going to have, not going to say it's not going to have a home base. It will, but it's actually going to be doing some Mediterranean cruises, and it's also going to be doing some Northern European cruises. The Mediterranean cruises are going to be coming out of Barcelona, and they're also going to have some cruises coming out of Cefalonia, or as some people might say, Rome. it's actually about an hour outside of Rome, but considered Rome. That'll be where the Med cruises are coming out of. And then come August, September, it's going to move over to Southampton, England, which essentially is London. For those of you who don't know, that's about a little bit over an hour outside of London. So those will basically be the three ports that you'll see it sail out of, mostly Barcelona and mostly Southampton.
So we actually, Crystal and I had the honor of being on another podcast as guests that is based over in Great Britain. And they are very excited to have heard about the Fantasy traveling over there and coming out of that area. So I know there's a lot of our friends across the pond that are excited to hear of that itinerary change.
Yeah, it was kind of funny when they, you know, they dropped a teaser in their Disney Cruise Line Instagram feed the other day. And it was, we knew these summer itineraries were getting ready to come out. And they dropped this little teaser, and it was like a little cartoon image, I think, of Goofy and Donald. and you knew they were talking about summer because it was on a beach.
Yeah.
And in the sandcastle, they had planted a UK flag. And so it really got the UK. It was really funny that day. As soon as that came out, within about 4 hours, I had 3 emails from UK clients. So I was like, yeah, they did a good job. They did a good job teasing that.
So lots of fun stuff to look forward to in, I guess, 2025. But even though if you want to book a cruise for 2024, you can still do that. But one of the things that I think we should jump into real quick, and you've always told me and Crystal this as your clients as well, that with Disney, especially with the cruise lines, it's always best to book early because that's when you get the best pricing, correct?
Exactly. Disney Cruise Line, I always tell people, think about it like an airplane. they have all the different categories of staterooms, from the interiors to the ocean views to the verandas to the concierge level. Even within those categories, those 4 main categories, they actually break those down even further. A lot of that has to deal with deck placement, whether you're midship or forward or aft, you'll have a 4A, a 4B, and a 4C. Doesn't mean much to the average person, but for us, we know that that means where you're going to be placed on the ship as far as deck and location of forward, mid, or aft. The thing about that is, and like you just said, is the sooner you book, the lower price you get. As Disney sells those categories, the pricing goes up. So they may have so many cabins priced at this category, at this price point, and as soon as they sell through those, then it jumps up to to the next one. And you see that a lot when this opening day comes, because there's people who know you plan ahead, and they book on day one. And it's not uncommon for somebody who is of the castaway status that can book on March 18th, for example, here when it opens for Pearl castaways, they may get a better price than somebody who has to wait till Thursday. And next week, it does that. And not that it's a super big difference. And sometimes it can be, or a certain category, if it's popular, will sell out. But it definitely can make a difference in the price.
Yeah. And we know Disney's great quality. We love it. It can be a little pricier. So even if it's not a huge difference, whatever that difference is, it's still worth taking advantage of.
You know, Disney's just, it's a different experience. And a lot of people, you know, try to compare it to other cruise lines. And listen, other cruise lines are wonderful. I sell them, you know, whether it's Royal Caribbean or Norwegian or Celebrity, I sell those, but Disney's just, it's Disney, and it's going to be a different experience than what you feel on other cruise lines. You know, I have to really, when clients contact me, you know, it's talking about what really fits them best. And for the Disney fan, a lot of times it's just their dream to do a Disney cruise. And we can always seem to find the right one that'll fit them.
So for anyone listening that might be pondering about a Disney cruise for next year, or really, let's be honest here, even for the remainder of this year, because you can still book cruises for this year, be sure to reach out to Sue, who can help you plan the perfect sea voyage. But now, how about we jump into some of the basics when it comes to DCL?
Sure. Where would y'all like to start?
So that's the thing. There's so much about Disney Cruise Line. Like, this is definitely going to just be, like Crystal said, the basic general, I think, introduction to cruising with Disney. So we're going to, I think we should give our listeners like an overview of some of the major highlights of what makes a Disney cruise a different type of experience. It stands out, but to also provide them with some of that basic information that they might just be asking themselves if they maybe have never cruised before, or even just never cruised with Disney, what the cruise line has to offer. And it's going to easily be one of many episodes that I think we're going to be doing on Disney Cruise Line, because I mean, we could do a whole one just on the shows that they offer and the food that they offer, but how about we just start with the basics? Like, Sue, how many ships does Disney have? What's, you know, maybe the difference between some of those ships? just so our listeners have like a starting point.
Sure, absolutely. So as far as Disney Cruise Line right now, they have five ships. You have their original ships, the Disney Magic and the Disney Wonder. They are the smallest of the Disney ships, but by means, they're not that small, to be honest with you. And then you have the next two set of sister ships that came out that are the Disney Fantasy and the Disney Dream. Those are sister ships. They have different elements to them to change them up a little bit. And then you have the Disney Wish that came out. The Disney Wish is the newest ship, but its sister ship will actually be making its debut at the end of 2024. And that will be the Disney Treasure.
Excited for that, Sue.
You know, they really are honing into the Disney fan, if you ask me, on the Disney Treasure. They have not released all of the details, but they've released a lot of details about the Disney Treasure. And, you know, some people that have never considered a Disney cruise, it was very funny. They're going, if you ask me, they're going retro on it. You know, they're trying to dig into those people who are just true Disney fans. Yep. Some of the areas that they've announced on there is, you know, there's going to be a pub that's based on 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Which is, I think, one of the underrated announcements that was made, because there's another lounge that I'm also very excited for that I think is drawing more people to it. But 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea is like a cult classic movie. Lincoln actually loves it. We sing Whale of a Tale all the time in the car. I'm excited for 20,000 Leagues, but I know you're going to jump into it real quick, but there's another one that I think is making everyone try to book a cruise.
There is, you know, on the Disney Wish, there was Hyperspace Lounge, which was based off of Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Well, on the Disney Treasure, they have reimagined it. And it is going to be the Haunted Mansion Lounge. And boy, did they hit a home run with that. It has really built up tons of excitement. You know, I actually have a community member that's sailing in February. And it was funny when they announced it, there were people who hadn't booked. And as soon as they heard about the Haunted Mansion, that's it. They were booking. They needed to see the Haunted Mansion. So I'm really excited to see where they're going to go with that. I hope they hit it out of the ballpark. I mean, you know, I have my own thoughts. Is the Hatbox Ghost going to be in there? Mm. What's the special drinks going to be? You know, of course, they're rolling out things to build that anticipation and make everyone excited. But it's going to be pretty cool. They're also going to have the Jungle Cruise on it.
Yeah, which is another really cool.
That's going to be another area. They're also going to have their first Mexican-inspired restaurant. Okay. So that's also. So the Disney Treasure is certainly building up a lot of anticipation. It came out for booking, you know, I guess quite a few months ago now. And really, it's booked very, very well. It's taken off. It's funny, though, I'm assuming when they released the itineraries for summer, they did not put any information out about the Disney Treasure bookings. Mm. So it should be staying with the same 7-night sailings that it's doing now. But we'll wait and see when that opens up.
I'm very excited for Treasure. Now, Sue, is each of the ships, they have like kind of a mascot. I guess they kind of have two mascots, because they have one inside the atrium, but they also have like the ship mascot on the back, where I think the Fantasy was Dumbo that we were just on and things like that. But is the Treasure, that's Aladdin, right? Is it Aladdin and Princess Jasmine?
It is. Okay. That's going to be in the inside. I'm not sure what they're going to have on the back.
On the outside. Okay.
I can't remember. I'll have to see if I can that.
But yes, Aladdin.
Yeah, they do. And I think the Disney Wish has Cinderella in the inside. Right. So yes, they all do come out and have their own mascots on them. So it's always fun to see how they do that, you know?
So you mentioned, you know, that the Fantasy is kind of changing its positioning. It's going across to Europe. Where do these cruises, do Disney cruises typically tend to depart from, so people kind of know like where they would be heading to start their cruises?
Sure. You know, it changes right now. They've recently, you know, Port Canaveral, of course, is the largest port. That's the most popular, gains a lot of traction because it's only an hour away from Orlando. So a lot of people do Disney. We say they do the land and sea adventure. So Port Canaveral, Port Canaveral is one. They also just recently built a brand new ship terminal down in Fort Lauderdale. So they always have a ship that will now be based out of Fort Lauderdale. I can tell you for the summer, it's actually summer 2025. The Dream is actually going down to Fort Lauderdale. So you will have that going out of there. You have the Wonder that goes out of Alaska, that sails out of Vancouver.
That's a bucket list cruise for us, is the Alaska cruise.
You know, I've experienced it. It is fabulous. It is fabulous. That goes out of Vancouver. Of course, as we already spoke, in 2025, you're going to have the Fantasy. It's going to be going out of Southampton and out of Barcelona and out of Rome. The Wish will still be going out of Port Canaveral. The Treasure will be going out of Port Canaveral. Basically, that's your main ports, is Orlando, Fort Lauderdale. They do have some sailings at certain times of the year that go out of Galveston. Right. Didn't think about that. Galveston does have, they don't sail year round from Galveston, but they do sail out of Galveston.
They also have some special ones that come from your neck of the woods, right? Once in a while throughout the year?
They do. Typically, they'll have it about 2 months. They will have some sailings that come out of New Orleans. They're kind of smart when they do it. They usually do it around Mardi Gras, spring break time. So typically February, very early March, you will have a certain amount of sailings that come out of New Orleans.
And then very rarely they have some of them. It seems very rarely, but I guess once in a while, they come out of our neck of the woods up in the Northeast, right out of New York. Mm-hmm.
They do. They do. You know, somebody actually asked about that recently, and I did not see any. I did not see any New Yorks on there recently.
That's so
I'm
sad.
Actually going to have to. I'm actually going to have, you know, and it all depends. I mean, you know, you had the ones this year that went out of Australia. You know, that was fun. You've had some that have come out of San Diego. You have some transatlantic ones that start in Honolulu. But as far as New York, I don't see anything on the horizon right now.
We typically always felt like when we saw them in the past, it was always around that fall time. Maybe Halloween cruises would come out once in a while from New York, because they tend to go more up from New York, right? They tend to go more towards the eastern side of Canada, maybe hit Maine. Maybe Bermuda. Do they do a Bermuda one?
They have in the past, right?
They have in the past. It either comes out of Fort Lauderdale or Orlando. I can't remember. Okay. I'd have to look and see if there's one. You know, I'm kind of playing around with it. And right. To answer your question, like the one that comes out of Galveston, it's coming out in March and April of 24. It'll go back there to Galveston, and it'll sail out of there from November of 24 through March of 25.
Okay.
So that's, you know, that's a nice thing. Another port they also have that a lot of people have looked at is they actually have a few sailings that'll come out of San Juan. And they're doing that in April and May of this year. They'll go back there in November, and then they're back there in March of 2025 again. So that's, you know, some unique sailings. But, you know, it's always fun to see, you know, you know, it's kind of the guessing game that we all get to play. where's the Disney ship going?
That's why, you know, when people talk to us about, like, should we use a travel agent? Especially when it comes to like cruises and stuff, because they do move around so much and you don't know where they're going to come out, when the dates open and when they're going to be sailing. People who are considering a cruise, right? They might say, oh, it's that's a cruises cost some money, right? But if they could save money from flying, right? We usually fly down to Florida. We do the land and sea trip. We go out of Port Canaveral. But if we could just drive, because we're in New Jersey, we could just drive to the port and not have to pay, knowing that they're going out of New York, that could save you some money. It gives you a different itinerary that you might not get the rest of the year. So using someone like you, you can say, oh, well, you know, this is your window of travel. You can actually go out of Galveston, or you can go out of, you know, Port Canaveral. You give them the different options because they do travel around a lot.
You know, absolutely. And there's so much to build into what's selecting. You know, that's why it's important to use an expert like this. You know, we're here to help you. Remember, we don't work for the cruise line. We work for you, our clients. And that's what makes it. And that's it. You know, at least here with MEI Travel, we're absolutely 100% fee free. If you price a cruise online, I can assure you it's never going to be higher with us. Right. And we're always going to monitor it. You know, it's one of the things people say, how do you do that? And we don't just do it for Disney. We do it for everything we book. We monitor your reservation. You are our client. We have your best interest. If prices go down or there's a special offer that comes out, you know, that's the days that I'm up at 4:30 in the morning and typically before you've awoken, you know, I've gone on and checked to see if it applies to your reservation.
So, I'm going to tell you, we're friends now, right? You're not just our travel agent. We've become friends through doing this. But the thing that sold me on using a travel agent, right? One, instantly there's all, you know, less pressure or whatever. But it was one of our first trips. It might have been our second trip with you that when you booked it for us, you texted me and you said, hey, I saved you $400 because you just changed the reservation for us. You're like, I know you qualify for whatever it was, the Disney Visa card or Plus or whatever it was. And you're like, yeah, you qualified for this. So I was like, oh, okay. So you do. You really do monitor. It's not just like a one-time transaction, right? They're not just going to call you. You're going to book it and then never hear from you again. You will constantly try to get them the best deal. And then if they need help, they can call you as well. There's no, we'll eventually do a whole episode where we just talk about, you know, why you should just use a travel agent, especially someone like you, Sue. But there's no reason not to. There's no reason not to.
No, you know, that's it. And it's making people understand we're really, you know, we have your best interests at heart. Yep. And especially with the Disney cruise, I mean, as you know, you've been on them, especially if you've never taken one, use a travel agent. You know, there's so many things, booking deadlines and payment deadlines and things like that. And they go fast.
I couldn't believe how much stuff actually. So I never went cruising before until I met Crystal and we went on a Disney cruise. That was my first time going on any cruise. It's the only cruise I've ever been on is Disney cruises. I always just assumed I pay this amount of money and I walk on the boat and then that's it. I don't get off the boat. I just go where they tell me to go. I eat, I do whatever whatever I have to do. That is not the case. There is between shore excursions, reservations for like the specialty restaurants, everything that you just mentioned, there were so many things to plan. And I can't tell you the feeling we get, which actually, Sue, we're going to be, after we record, asking you to help us with something else, where we could just call Sue and be like, hey, Sue, we want to do this. And she goes, okay, I'll do it. And then you just do it for us. It's so much easier than having to wake up super early and fight everybody. And especially, like you said, those first-time cruisers that don't know exactly how to do it, that missing a button or not clicking the right thing could mean the difference between getting what you want and it selling out before you can get it. So,
right. Yeah. And, you know, and the thing about Disney is, and timing is of the essence, is Disney does reward those people who travel with Disney Cruise Line. And for example, you know, just to go over it, we just said, you know, the 2025 summer itineraries are coming out. They will start booking on Monday, March 18th, which is the day this drops. Now, that is for Pearl Castaways only. For those who aren't familiar with Disney does have their reward system, or it's called Castaway Club. And they have different levels of that. They recently, last year, added a new level called Pearl. Pearl is anyone who's traveled 25, and let me clarify this, has completed 25 sailings or more. It's not when you take your 25th, it's after you've completed your 25th sailing. You become Pearl status. Then underneath that, there's Platinum status. Platinum is anyone who's completed 10 plus cruises. You have Gold, which has completed 5 to 10 cruises, I guess you'd say. Silver is anyone who's taken one cruise and gone on it, loved it, wants to go back. And then you just have your general, you know, for somebody who's never cruised.
First time,
and,
right.
So the way it's going to open next week is Pearls will be able to book on Monday, March 18th. They'll be followed by Platinums on Tuesday, March 19th. They'll go then to Golds on Wednesday, March 20th, Silvers on March 21st, and then it will open to the general public on Friday.
Right. So I'm only a Silver, but now Crystal gets to be Gold next
time. I'm officially Gold. I'm so excited. Now I just need to make sure I cruise within 5 years so that way I keep that status.
Yeah, that was something Disney did announce that, you know, was meant to mix reviews, but, you know, everybody has their things.
I kind of get it.
Yeah. You know, in order to keep your castaway status, for those that don't know, you will have to cruise at least once every 5 years to keep your current status. And, you know, but hey, you should have, you should always be able to fit in a Disney cruise once every five years, right?
Our last one was about 10 years before. It had been a while. We went through a very dry spell, literally.
That's okay. That is not going to happen anymore. That is not going to happen anymore. There's a lot of opportunity out there to sail Disney Cruise.
Yeah, there were a lot of reasons why we went through the dry spell. You know, we got married, we had kids, and now we're ready to cruise again. Yeah, that's why we went through the dry spell.
Yeah, that's okay.
We were stuck on land.
Yeah, so it's exciting. So, and not only does that castaway status carry over to when you can initially book your cruise, it also carries over, and this is yet another reason you want to make sure your travel agent knows what they're doing, is it also carries over to your onboard booking.
And I feel like that is the bigger benefit, because yes, you do get to book your actual cruise, like get your room, you know, depending on when you are before other people. And sure, they could sell out, but usually they don't like sell out in the first day. Like Pearls aren't going to buy the whole boat, right? So maybe a category would go out, but the excursions and the activities on board and stuff, those can easily book up with just the Pearls or just the Pearls and the Platinum.
Right. So exactly. Right, especially the onboard the adult dining, and the onboard activities, the beverage tastings and things like that.
It's not even the beverage tasting; it's the restaurant. It's Paolo brunch.
I was going to say, what are you talking? Are you
Paolo brunch?
What are you insinuating here? The missed Paolo brunch that we missed on our
dinner. We got dinner twice, but we were on a 10-night cruise. And we couldn't get Paolo brunch because I think that's the first thing that goes on every sailing.
It is known to one. I remember we were on a cruise one time and we was with a friend, you know, we were sailing with a friend and she has some allergies and things like that. And it was funny. We were in Paolo and, you know, they came up and, you know, it's another thing. Disney's wonderful with allergies. So anybody, you know, that has to deal with that. But we were at Paolo and we had this waiter who was coming in and he was wonderful. And I can't recall his name, but they came out with something that was an allergy friendly dish for her. And it was phenomenal. And she looked at it and, you know, she ate a couple bites and looked up at him and was like, "Are you sure this is allergy? You know, are you sure this is?" And he's like, and he goes, "Why, of course." And, you know, it says, and he goes, she goes, "This is delicious." And he just looks at her with that thing. He goes, "Welcome to Paolo." And it was just, you know, it was great. It was the funniest moment of the day.
It's the best food on board. without a doubt.
Yeah. But, you know, definitely Disney does reward those people who sail with Disney and you know, not to get much into it. But, you know, when you're booking your pre-activities, you know, for a new cruiser, if you've never sailed Disney before, your window to book activities isn't going to open up till 75 days before your cruise. Whereas somebody more reason, you know, somebody who's been on a few, Silver opens up at 90. And then you'll have Pearl that actually gets access to those things 123 days.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a big swing, you know, whether you can book them. And not to say everybody's going to be Pearl, but more reasonably, even if you're Silver and you've only been on one cruise, you're getting to book at 90 days out as opposed to somebody who's booking for their first time and it's only 75 days.
Right. We will. I'll also say, right, and I'm sure you agree, Disney people plan, right? We always plan ahead of time. We know what we're doing. We know what we're going to go for. But you can also, once you get on board, you can still go to the concierge desk and book things while on board. Sometimes things will open, right? Like we tried to get Palo Brunch. We tried to do that so often, but unfortunately it never opened when we could go. But we did hear other people were able to snag things here and there. So you should always ask, because Disney will try their best to help you out and get certain things, but there's no guarantee. There were many things that I saw on the discussion boards for our cruise that people were trying to get it and they just never could. And not just the brunch, but an excursion or anything like that.
Yeah. And look, you know, everything's limited by number. You have to remember that, you know, whether it's for safety or just capacity or bus size for excursions, you know, everything has a limited number of how many people they can accommodate. But no, you can. If you are unable to book it, you can always go to guest services once you board. You know, kind of word on the street is that they don't pre-book everything before you get on board. There are a certain amount of reservations that they keep for people to be able to book on board to give Disney some flexibility as well as others.
All right. So there's a lot of just basic information there about the different ships and where they're going from and when, you know, the importance of booking ahead of time and using a travel agent. But let's jump into some of the fun stuff. Let's talk about the boats, what they have to offer, kind of maybe what separates DCL from other cruise lines. Or, you know, we can also mention some of the similarities, because I know some people, myself included, from the first time I went was a little maybe worried about, hey, I don't want to be trapped on a boat with Mickey Mouse and screaming kids for 10 days. So it's because it's not like that, just right off the bat. It's not like that.
No, it's not.
So let's talk about some of the basic stuff that people might just have questions about. And I'm going to start real quick. This isn't really a question. This is just something really, really cool that I think I really liked. It's when you actually, embarkation.
Yep. So,
okay, well, let's talk about, here's a question, and then I'll get into the fun thing, because embarkation is the first thing you do, right? You have to show up to the port. They'll tell you when you have to show up. They'll tell you what time you can arrive and when you're going to get in there, and they put you into your little group. And I will say that, and I'm only speaking for Port Canaveral, because that's the only place that we have sailed out of. That place is a madhouse on embarkation day. It is absolute, on paper,
it's a fun madhouse, though. Don't scare people away. It's a fun madhouse. You
know, I just warning people, not warning, but giving people a heads up. It's not like Disney World where you're in a nice, neat queue and there's ropes telling you where to, like, there's a screen and it's like boarding C, and then all of a sudden, because everybody's so excited to get on the boat. That's why
it's more airport vibes.
Right. Well, that's why it's an exciting, like you said, it's an exciting sort of confusion, because everybody just wants to be there on the boat.
Happy chaos.
But it can get a little overwhelming, especially when you're trying to wrangle kids and your bat, you know, and suitcases and whatever, because there really is no nice and neat queue in like the front half of the port, right? You just kind of herd in, you're like bumping into people. And then finally you get close and you see the little tunnel and you're like, I did it. I made it through the crowd. I get to go onto the boat. So it can be a little crazy, but Disney cast members are everywhere. They will help you do what you have to do.
They do.
But
it it's great. And, you know, just to kind of give somebody the insight that's maybe never been on one before, is one of your things is your check-in process. You know, your check-in will open up anywhere from 40 days to 30 days before your cruise. During that time, they will assign you a port arrival time. And, you know, it's usually in 15-minute increments. It usually starts about 10:30, 10:45 in the morning and goes every 15 minutes. Whether or not you can arrive before then, I think it really depends on the Disney worker who's managing right. the times. But, you know, we do say if your port arrival time is between 11 and 11:15, get there at 11. That's mm-hmm. why they gave you a port arrival time. But you'll arrive at your port arrival time. You'll go through the initial screening. They'll check all of your documents, your passports, your birth certificates. Then they do give you a boarding group. Right. It'll start with one. There will always be, and this is a special thing, there's always a family of the day. That is something people ask me all the time. How can I get family? You can't get family of the day. It is randomly selected. It's just, there's a Disney cast member that's assigned that day to go in and find a family of the day. It is really cool. That family is the very first family that gets to board the ship, and they will board before any of the boarding groups. But then, as you may explain it, the organized chaos, the organized happy chaos begins. Everybody will then have boarding groups from, you know, 1 through 30 or right. whatever number they have to. And they'll call them number by number. And you get in the little, that's when you get in your little queue line and you go through the little turnstiles right. To pass part, through the magical Mickey ears.
Yeah, that part is definitely the nice part when you get into the queue. It's just everybody, like, it's just everybody so excited to get on the cruise that people don't judge, because there's seats on the sides. It's a very big room that people could easily, that are not in that boarding group, could easily just be over waiting for their board, but they don't do that. They, a mob of people wait in front of the queue area. So if you're one of the people who's like, well, you know, I'm not going to be called for 20 minutes. I'm going to go sit down on the side so I'm not in people's way. That you have to fight through that mob to get to the queue so you could get in. That's the chaotic part. But yeah. Again, it's all in good fun.
Matt, people. That's why you need to book concierge next time, because if you book concierge, you get your own crowd. You get your own little private lounge yeah. to go wait in before you can board the ship.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what we have to do.
Matt's a little traumatized at the moment from the fantasy.
But it's fun. But you get on. But you mentioned family of the day, which there is the family of the day. But Disney, right? They're all about family. Mm-hmm. That's what Disney's thing is. And they do make you feel like no matter what, you are the family of the day. Because when you get through the queue and you walk onto the boat, one of the things that is both super embarrassing but super fun is they announce you, your family, to everybody on board. The cast members are in the atrium. They're clapping for you. There's other people. They're like, now introducing the Woolly family. And you like walk out and it's fun.
Literally chills are running up my spine as you're saying it. I love that feeling.
It is. And depending on the ship you're in, there's usually some type of character, the fairy godmother, that's there to meet you in the grand atriums. And look, Disney knows how to do an atrium.
That's beautiful.
It doesn't matter the ship you go on. When you walk into that atrium, you know you're on a cruise ship. You know yeah. you're on an elegant cruise ship.
They are beautiful. The chandelier, the glass elevator, everything. It's so nice.
Right. I mean, they on every ship, they are beautiful.
I can't tell you how many times on our last trip, you know, Landry's crawling that time, right? But I can't tell you how many nights, like late at night, like 9, 10 o'clock, we would just go to the atrium and it's kind of empty. And Lincoln was running up and down the stairs and Landry's just crawling around in there because it's huge, it's beautiful. And we had so much fun there. We got some great pictures too, because it's fun. And they do like a kiss goodnight kind of thing too, right? In the atriums.
Only on the Wish.
The Wish has a special element. It's called the Kiss Goodnight. it happens a two or three times at night where it's a special lighting show with the main yeah. chandelier that happens. It's beautiful. It's, you know, you're funny. You walk into the atrium and you're like, oh, the Kiskan Night's about to happen, because you have 40 people laying flat on their back on the atrium floor, looking up at the ceiling, you know? So you can always tell when it's about to happen. And I, you know, it's funny. I had somebody who's like, we walked in and everybody was on their backs. So I was like, so what did you do? They said, we just went and laid down on our back because everybody else was.
That's like, there's a line here. I should get in it. I don't know what it's for, but I'm going to get in the line.
Exactly. So, and what's cool about that is they have the normal Kiskan Night, but I always tell people, go check it out on Pirates Night. Because on Pirates Night, it's different than the other nights.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. So there's so much. This is either going to be a two-parter, even this episode. But like I said, we're going to have multiple episodes where we do more deep dives into all this stuff. But let's kind of like quickly run down just some of the different aspects of cruising.
Sure.
One of the things, this is something that Lincoln found astonishing when we first told him what he was doing, because the one in July was his first trip. We told him that a cruise is everything, right? It's where you're going to have the fun. You're going to be able to go swimming. You're going to eat on the boat. You're going to travel. But then when we told him you also sleep on the boat, we're like, it's a hotel. It's where you stay. He lost his mind. He was like, what? I'm like, yeah, it's everything. So let's chat a little bit about the rooms, right? Because that is one of the main aspects of cruising. It is your hotel. It's where you're going to be. We love Disney Cruise Line rooms. Again, we've never cruised on other ships. We've seen walkthroughs and videos and people have told us, and they're not extremely different from those other rooms, right? They have different categories. They have a bed, they have a couch, they have a TV, they have a bathroom, right? They have all that same stuff. But there are elements, I think, that make Disney Cruise Line rooms different enough and worthy of talking about, especially for families. There's one aspect that me and Crystal really, really like about the rooms on a Disney cruise ship. But before we jump into that, Sue, can you tell everybody like what are like the different categories that someone might expect to be able to book if they wanted to on a Disney cruise?
Sure. You're going to have basically, I will say there's four main categories. You're going to have inside staterooms. Some of the ships have standard inside or deluxe insides, and the deluxe insides gets to one of your favorite elements of the Disney Cruise Line ship. A standard inside does not have that element. A deluxe inside does. And there's ocean view staterooms. Basically, you'll have a porthole window. Some have small porthole windows. Others have large porthole windows. It depends on the category you book. And that's one of those things that I'll ask clients when I'm booking them. Does it matter? Do you just need a little bit of sunshine, or do you want that big window you can see out of? And that'll lead me to selecting the right category for them. You'll then have the verandas. Of course, that's a balcony veranda. You'll have that private balcony that's right outside your doors. And then you step up to concierge class, which has a range that goes from the balconies to the larger balconies. And
the dream.
The dream. And some of them are even in the funnels.
Yeah, the suites, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a nice change. So do you want to let the scoop out on the hidden element you're so excited about? People are going to laugh. They're going to be really?
But you know what? I don't think they will, because there are many topics about this, especially on Disney discussion boards, not just on the cruise, but in the parks and stuff. People like to rank these things and whatnot. But the thing me and Crystal really like about the Disney Cruise Line rooms are the bathrooms, because especially when you're there with a family. Right. When you have kids and stuff,
it does make a difference.
It does. So they have split bathrooms where it's essentially two smaller rooms. One has your toilet and a sink, and the other one has another sink and your shower. But the thing that we really enjoy about that is, and I don't think it's in every room, but a lot of the rooms, it has a shub tower, a shub, a shower Tub. That's a new word right there. Shub.
There you go. That's it. We'll just call it a shub.
It has the shower tub combo, which makes all the. I'm going to market this as shubs. That's what that. Why don't they call them that's shubs?
It. I can just wait for the first conga. Hi. Yes, I heard about you on the Meritons Disney app podcast. Can I have one of the cabins that has a shub in it?
A shub. Like, what? So it's a shower tub combo, and the tub makes all the difference for when you have little kids. It's not like
especially babies.
It's not like a full size tub. It's a smaller one, but it's still a tub.
And it's a little round tub. It's kind of cute.
It was plenty of room for Lincoln and Landry even to take a bath together if they wanted, but to take their baths because they're little. They don't do showers, right?
Yeah.
So the shub is definitely one of the things that we really did. We do like to split bath. And just having a split bathroom, right? Because if somebody has to use the toilet and somebody's taking a shower, you have the opportunity to do both at the same time.
It makes getting ready for dinner 100 times.
It does. It does. And, you know, having the vanity with the sink in both of them is really nice. And then they also have a vanity area outside of the room where the hair dryer plugs in and all of that. So Disney definitely does think about space. Now, in saying that, you need to understand you need to book the right category because not all rooms have a split bath, particularly a shub, particularly with the inside staterooms. Standard inside staterooms are not going to have a split bath. On the Disney Wish, their inside staterooms, there's just inside staterooms. They do not have a split bathroom. That's one of the things they changed on the Disney Wish. So you need to make sure if that's important to you and your family, you know, if you're sleeping, if you're two people, you can manage. Right. If you've got four people, that split bath really does come in handy.
Like I said, so Crystal only will sail with a veranda. She won't do an interior room. She won't do an ocean view room.
We've already established that in bougie. Let's move on.
It has to have
And what's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with
it. Absolutely not.
I 100% love sitting out on the veranda and watch the ocean go by. You know, if you don't want to go to the crowds up on the upper deck, but you still want some of that fresh sea air, you can do that on the veranda, which is great. Lincoln loved looking over the side and watching the flying fish and the dolphins when we pulled into a port. So we love the veranda, but you do get the benefit of the shub and the split bath and things like that. The beds were, I think, are a really clever way that they do it. I don't know if they do this on other cruise lines. I'm sure they have to because they're trying to save as much room as possible. But on a Disney cruise, you get like your, was it a queen size bed, a full size bed?
You do. It's a queen size bed. A lot of people don't realize this because on other cruise lines, it's typically two twins that they'll push together to make a queen size. Disney doesn't do that. It is a queen size bed. There's no crack in the mattress. There's no separating it. It is one bed that's a queen size. And if I may say so myself, they are very, very comfortable.
Oh, yeah.
The beds on Disney Cruise Line are excellent. Depending on the room you book, they may also, almost all of the rooms have what they call a single convertible sofa. So they'll have the sofa that converts into a single bed.
Right, the back flips down.
It flips down.
It's not a pullout. It flips down and it stays in the same footprint of the room.
Exactly. It doesn't take up any. And you don't have to worry about doing that. Your room at night, your cabin attendant will come down. If you need that, they'll usually check in with you. They know how many people are in the stateroom. They'll come in and convert that. Once you get ready for dinner and you're off for the night, when you come back to your room that night, your bed switched.
It's like magic. It's amazing. Your beds are turned down. There's a lovely towel creature waiting for you and chocolates on your pillow.
Most delicious chocolate. Yeah. Most delicious
chocolate. It's the best chocolate in the world. And then sometimes they'll have the upper berths that actually come down out of the ceiling that are meant for smaller children, but meant for children. There is a weight capacity to them. We have had adults sleep in them, but
I am not.
There is a weight capacity to those.
My brother may or may not have fallen out of one
Well, so we talked about this last week on the episode with Lincoln, where he did talk about the rooms and the bed, and he, for the most part, slept on the couch, the convertible couch. But one night, the room attendant asked him, he was like, hey, you know, we have a bunk bed if you want to try that. And he said, okay. So we came, it was pulled down. There's a little ladder for him to climb up. He did go up. He liked being on it when he was awake, but he said he was too afraid to sleep on it because he was like, I don't want to fall. Yeah. I don't want to fall off. Which there's a railing and stuff there. He wasn't going to fall. That was just his anxiety.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Don't think it's an open bed. They do have rails up there to prevent anybody from rolling off of it. It's, you know, it's safe, but they do still have to climb a ladder to get up to it. So, you know, understand that. And then the other thing we didn't mention is in the ocean view and veranda categories, they do have a little bit larger room that's called a deluxe family ocean view or veranda that offers a little bit more space, right? Yeah, it offers a little bit more space. And it sometimes, and in most cases, will have a fifth Murphy bed that folds down out of the wall.
Okay. That we did not have. We did not have the Murphy bed.
Almost all of them have that. There are some exceptions that they don't. But a lot of them will have a fifth bed that'll fold down. So it will accommodate a family of five.
And one more thing on the rooms, because I think, you know, we're kind of hitting everything. Some of those interior rooms, they employ a magic porthole, correct? They have like a fake virtual window to, and it shows you like the outside, right? Like, is it connected to the outside and shows you what is actually there? And then once in a while, like a little Disney character might pop in.
Exactly. It's a virtual porthole that's on the windows. And they're cool, you know, for somebody that wants to save the money and wants to, you know, do just an inside. It's a little fun aspect that they've included. Not all the ships have it, but some of the ships do have the virtual portholes.
I liked the rooms. I don't think they're any smaller than other, you know, cruise line rooms. We had, it was like I said, it was the four of us. We actually had a pack and play, like a playpen that was put into the room for Landry. That chewed up quite a bit of floor space, but you could fold it and put it away if you had to. So I love the rooms. I think they're great. They definitely have some Disney touches, right? Each of the ships has their own themes. You might have different Disney characters on the wall and stuff, but it's not overly like, it's not like a kid playroom. You're not going to walk in and feel like, okay, I'm trapped on the boat with Mickey. Like, it's not like that.
They're subtle. You know, now listen, almost all of the ships over the bed have some type of mural,
right?
That is Disney themed. But to me, it's one of the things that I love about Disney as much is it's very classical.
Yeah.
It's the
even
classic
the
colors
of the boat. Yeah. The exterior of the boat is beautiful. I can't tell you how many times we pulled into a port next to another ship and you could see all of the people on the other boat taking pictures in front of the Disney boat because it is, it's that classic. It reminds you of like, and that's what they did. It's supposed to be like the early 1900s style and colors.
It is. And they nail it.
Yeah. I definitely love the red funnels, the smokestack look and the different colors. Cause it's not just one, it's not just like a big white floating box, right? It's got some design elements to it. It's different color schemes. It's beautiful. I can't.
No, they look. They really are. I mean, I just love the color schemes of the Disney ships. It's one of my favorite things about them. It makes them very, very distinct and very easily noticed because there's no other ship that follows that same, you know, color scheme.
So when we leave the rooms, though, Where?
Which is what most of the crews should be.
Well, yes. Unless you're Matt, because you really like to stay in the room and spend time on the veranda instead of going to the upper deck because you don't like the heat and you
like people. But no, that's not what I'm saying. It depends on the veranda. We have sailed with a regular veranda, but we were also spoiled twice where we were on the very back of the ship and we had the rear room veranda. And it's not a veranda, it's a deck. It had a table and chairs. It had lounges. So I was like, why would I go upstairs where there's 300 people fighting for chairs or whatnot when I could just open my door and sit here? And
I have my own personal deck. I got you.
So yeah, there's some of that. But, you know, you shouldn't spend all of your time in the room on the cruise. They offer so much fun stuff to do that you have to explore. Well, Ohana, that's it for this week's episode of the Married to a Disney Addict podcast and part one of our chat on Disney Cruise Line. Be sure to hit that follow button to catch part two of the episode next week and all of our future episodes as they come out. We again want to thank our good friend Sue for taking the time from her very busy schedule planning magical vacations to come on and chat with us. We also want to thank all of you for tuning in and to invite you to be part of the podcast. If you ever have a Disney topic that you're just dying to talk about or just want to suggest a topic for us to cover, feel free to reach out to us either on our website, marriedtoadisneyaddict.com, or over on our socials on Facebook and Instagram by searching at Married to a Disney Addict to become part of our Ohana. Thanks again for tuning in, and as always, see you real soon. Thank you.